Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, what's up with that? Wait a minute. You know, you come to my place to listen to my show, and you don't bring any food? Least you could do is bring some dip or something like that. That's embarrassing. Get out of here.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I can't believe you didn't bring any dip.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the... Come on. Come on, come on.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. That is my name, Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much. You know, there's a wrestler named Rob Van Dam, and here's the annoying thing. If you Google my name, Ron Van Dam, stuff will come up. Good stuff will come up, you know. But also, toward the top is Rob Van Dam. His name isn't even Ron. And yet the Google defaults to Rob instead of Ron. And this guy predominantly takes up all the search pages with his professional wrestling thing. It's not that I don't like professional wrestling. I just don't care for it. I don't watch it. You know, let's not argue about that. But he's taken my spots, man. He's taken my spots, and he doesn't... His first name's even different. What's up with that Google thing? What, I'm not big enough that Google has to say, you asked for Ron Van Dam? What, are you serious? What, are you kidding me? Don't you want Rob Van Dam? I'll tell you what. Let's just default to Rob Van Dam and screw this Ron thing. What's with you, says Google. Hey, that's not right, though, man. I got my own prominence. I got sites. I got stuff. I got a lot of stuff. But this Rob guy, did Rob Van Dam pay Google like an extraordinary amount of money in order to knock me off? Am I a cheap Gucci bag? What is this knockoff stuff? What's up with that? I'm not happy about that, Google. Maybe if someone types in Google, maybe it should show goggles, underwater goggles, swimming wear or something like that. Oh, you meant goggle, didn't you? See, now Google's more popular than goggles. There was a time in our history when goggles were like, yeah, you mean goggles, right? Google was something that a baby said before it could talk. Google, Google. It's baby talk. Doesn't make any sense. It's not right. By the way, at the beginning of the show, when I was very upset that you didn't bring any dip, I was only kidding. I don't care. I don't like dip. I mean, made famous in a Seinfeld episode, I suppose, where, you know, people take, this guy took a potato chip and dipped it into the dip and then took a bite out of it, and then there was more potato chip left, so he dipped it into the dip again. And I do find that incredibly offensive. I don't want your saliva on the end of your potato chip in a public pool of dip. By the way, dip is an interesting word because we're describing, it's a noun. Dip is the sour cream with different flavors in it or something. But we're actually calling it the action of using it. In other words, what you do with it is you dip things in it, and yet we also call it a dip. It is a dip. It's, for example, when people say, do you want to swim? Do you want to go into the pool and swim? We also call that a noun by saying, I'm going to go have a swim, as if it's an actual object. I'm going to get a swim in. I'm going to do a swim. You can't... This is bad when everything annoys me so early. I do the show very, very early in the morning. I don't know what time you listen to it. I frankly don't care. As long as you listen to it at some point in your life, because otherwise I would be doing this for nothing. And I know that's not the case, so I'm just going to shut up. But I do this very, very early. I do this before most of you even get out of bed. And I don't do much before I do this show. It's not like I went for a swim or I had a large amount of dip. Or I took a dip in the pool. Oh, man, this is all getting very freaky. I do very, very little. I brush my teeth. I sit on the toilet, put some clothes on. I sit down and I talk. So you've got to excuse what happens here sometimes. I haven't gathered anything yet. I've had a little bit of coffee, which is, for me, a diuretic. Hands down. If I eat too much cheese or I'm in pain and I take an oxycodone, which, by the way, is illegal unless you have a prescription for a specific ailment, that also will bind people up. Coffee affects people different ways. I can't drink coffee, man. I can't. If I have a sip of coffee early in the morning, regular coffee, I'll be up all night. Caffeine affects me. And then there's other people who actually walk into places and say, give me a caffeine shot. Shoot it into my veins. I need it in order to just even stay awake. We're all very, very different. I'm suffering from allergies right now. My nose is like a carnival ride. Oh, what's happening in there? Oh, there's stuff going on in there. You wouldn't believe. There's a lot of movement going on inside my nostrils right now. There's construction going on in there. There's an entire... Things are flowing, man. Things are flowing in there. But we're all different. You may not have any problems at all. I have a deviated septum. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what a septum is, and it deviates from the norm. Why don't you tell me I have what I have, which is I have an obstruction of some kind of bone nose marrow. But no, we can't call it that. We have to come up with deviated septum so that people go, oh, what is a deviated? Is that a deviated rectum? I've heard. No, that's not. What's a septum? I'm not really sure. Is that in my elbow? Is that where my funny bone? Is that like where my septum is? Where's my septum? Who's got my septum? I can't find my septum anymore. Who's got the septum? Today on the program, we're going to talk to a solar expert. Ooh, that would be an expert on the sun. No. Here's what I don't understand. And if you agree with me, raise your hand. Look at you raising your hand. You don't even know what I'm going to say, first of all. Secondly, I can't even see you. That's so stupid what you just did. I don't understand people. I never did. I think that'll be on my gravestone there, and my headstone, whatever you call that thing. Here lies Ron. He never understood people. Never understood them. I don't get it. We get all this earth-moving equipment, gigantic oil drills and these towers and all these things that dot the skyline. And pollute the atmosphere. We dig into the very earth. It's like drilling into your mother. It's just wrong. Why? Here's a beautiful planet, and we dig into it. I don't get it, because here's the thing, man, is that solar energy coming from the sun, you collect the energy from the sun, and you have like free energy. Doesn't cost you a damn cent. Well, neither does oil, Ron. Oil's in the ground. That doesn't cost you a cent either. No, but it's hard to get it. It's hard to collect it. You have to drill for it. You have to disrupt the earth. You have to poke holes in it. You're making the whole earth like a gigantic sponge. You've poked so many holes in it. Solar, just get a little thing. Point it to the sun. It'll collect energy, and your fans will move. What's your problem, man? Hydroelectric power. That's power from water. Do you ever stand on a beach and get knocked over by a wave? That shit's powerful, man. That'll knock you over. And it's constant. There's always waves coming in all the time from the oceans. United States, we got two big oceans, man. We're surrounded by water. You got the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, and then we're in between. You got a lot of opportunities to collect a lot of energy from the ocean. The ocean, it's basically solar power. The sun and the moon, they create these waves in the ocean that are energetic, and you can collect that energy. They do it in Buffalo. Are you embarrassed that they do something in Buffalo that you don't do here? If they can do it in Buffalo, what is your problem? You haven't come up with it, but Buffalo did? Give me a break. Do we use hydroelectric power? No. We got ocean all over the place. Do we tap into its energy source? No. We just dip our toes into it. There's the word dip again. We put our toes in it, and that's about all we do with that ocean thing. Come on, man. You got the wind. There's a lot of wind. There's wind. Collect that stuff. We've got some of those propeller things. They look like giant airplanes, you know, that are on a pole. They're not pretty. They're windmills. Now, in Europe, they have windmills all over the place, and they're pretty. They're very pretty. They're made of wood, and they're very nice looking. They're pretty. You know, they spin around and stuff like a pinwheel, you know. It's like little babies get mesmerized by spinning things. We don't, apparently. We just don't use them. We got a couple in this country. I do the show here out of Massachusetts. We got some of those big propellers spinning around. That creates energy. If you take it all together, the natural movement of the planet as it relates to the solar system is an energy source. You don't have to dig into anything. You don't have to tap into anything. It's right there. You just build some stuff to collect it. That's all you have to do. It boggles my mind because this goes back way back when I was a tiny little tot. And before that, there was solar stuff going on then. But everybody thought that was stupid. That was crazy. I'd rather drill into the earth and suck things out of the only planet that we can survive on. Have you noticed that astronomers and scientists haven't found another place that we can live on if we have to? We got no second chances here. This Earth is about it. And even if we did find a planet that we could go to, how the hell are you going to get there? JetBlue doesn't fly there. How are you going to go? I ain't taking Spirit Airlines. No way I'm taking Spirit. No. Spirit Airlines, no. You have to bring your own plane. Have you ever been on Spirit Airlines? No leg room. There's no body room. You hang on to the wing is probably how you get there. It's awful. Spirit is just, they charge you for even the carry-on bag they charge you for. Are you going to wear shoes? That's $20. $20? Of course I'm wearing shoes. It's $10 a shoe. Come on. That's loading up the plane, man. Are you serious? You want a bag of peanuts? Sure. $200.
What are you talking about?
$200. A little bag of peanuts is $200? That's how much it costs. You want it or not?
Wow.
Surprised they have windows. Do they? Yeah, I mean, nobody, you know, you can't get to any other place. There's no way to do it. So we're stuck on this planet. And yet, for some reason, it's every man, every woman for themselves. So who gives crap, you know? I don't understand it. I don't get it. So solar is one of the ways to go. And I thought we would talk to our guest about that right now. But first, we're going to take a little commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to be joined by a solar expert.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Whitney, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Whitney Torres joins us. She is a solar energy expert from SunPower, and we're talking about solar. Are you in a solar facility?
I am at a solar house in Northern California.
Okay. Wow. When you say a solar house, like how extensive solarly is this house?
Well, it's probably about 90% powered by solar panels.
Wow. Okay. And, all right, let's talk about solar. Is this a good idea for everybody to introduce solar power into their homes?
Well, most people are good candidates. So if you own your own home, that's the first step. Mm-hmm. And then, you can contact a solar expert, but some of the considerations are shading and the direction of your roof.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are good candidates for solar.
Okay. All right. That's good. Now, solar power, like this goes back quite a period of time. It goes back decades and decades.
Yeah.
And I remember when it first came out, it was like turning your home into a space station. But that's kind of not the case anymore, is it?
No, not at all. And yeah, solar's not new at all. It's definitely been around for a long time. And the great thing is that since the 70s, actually,
yes,
solar has come down in price by 100%.
Oh, 100%.
And, and then just in the last 5 years, solar costs have decreased 67%. So
wow,
it's definitely mainstream now, mm-hmm, more and more prevalent.
I've seen some houses that have recently had panels installed on the roofs, and they're not big, thick, like window pane things anymore. They're rather thin and
right,
almost undetectable in a sense.
Right. Yeah. No, they look fantastic. There have been big advances, mm-hmm, in aesthetics. With SunPower solar panels, they, mm-hmm, actually are all black, and they have an appearance of just like an LCD flat screen TV floating on the roof. They're,
yeah,
very minimal in appearance.
Yeah.
In appearance.
That's kind of a good example, the way the TVs were before, the big clunky thick things, and now they're,
mm-hmm,
so thin that you can just, you know, just hang it on the wall. So,
mm-hmm,
yeah, I mean, that's a good example. What are some of the benefits of actually having solar in your home? I assume that it certainly reduces the cost of energy, but are there other benefits?
Well, yeah, I mean, along from the environmental benefits of solar electricity produced,
mm-hmm,
from the sun, which is an abundant source.
So I hear.
There's financial benefits, like you mentioned. So the savings is great. It's the difference between paying the utility company and having no return on that money. You never,
mm-hmm,
see it again. It's just gone. Versus having that money go towards something that has equity and value and a,
mm-hmm,
payback period. And the tax credit. The tax credit's a huge value for people to save 30% on the cost of a solar system,
mm-hmm,
and instead of you know, writing that check to Uncle Sam, yeah, you get to invest that in your home.
Well, that makes all the sense in the world. As a matter of fact, it's kind of unbelievable that there isn't solar on every home that's applicable.
But a lot of people say that. Yeah.
Well, it's just, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. And I mean, to be political about it, I think it's because the common way of transferring, you know, power to a home and oil and all that stuff is just, mm-hmm, too much of a big business. And this is such an obvious way.
That's true. But studies from the Pew Research Center have shown, yeah, that 2/3 of Americans are actually in favor of finding alternative energy sources.
Good.
So
yeah,
I think that there's broad support.
Good. Hey, that's wonderful. Now, mm-hmm, if only the president would agree with us. Okay, now, I'm sorry I said that. okay, so, you know, I get a lot of calls from a lot of different companies wanting to come over to my house and discuss this with me. What's a good process of doing this?
Right. Well, start your search online. Go to sunpower.com. We have great information, mm-hmm, there, and we have a blog on how to get started. But it's super simple. It's not complicated at all. Once you start talking to an expert, there's an education, mm-hmm, and you get a quote. You, mm-hmm, you know, find a solution that fits your budget and your energy needs. And then, you know, but at SunPower, we pretty much take it from there. So I think that's pretty much the process. It's super simple.
Okay. Well, it's that easy. All right.
Yeah.
I have had someone over to my house. My house does not face slant in the direction of the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, the other way. And they
That's
said
cool that you've looked into it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, hey, you know, I was born in a generation where you were supposed to have this a long time ago. but I changed houses, so that's what happened. Is it worth it just to have a small section efficient, or is it indeed really not for somebody that isn't facing the right way?
Well, it really depends on what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
If the only available roof space you have is facing due north, I'm not sure what your situation is.
Yeah.
Then you know it might not be the right, mm-hmm, solution. But most people have more than one roof angle that would be sufficient. And then also product makes, mm-hmm, a big difference because not all solar panels are created equal. And so, mm-hmm, you can get a high efficiency solar panel to maximize your available roof space.
Is this a great cost to the homeowner?
Sorry, what's the question?
Is this a considerable cost or investment by the homeowner?
Well, there's a lot of different financing vehicles, mm-hmm, available, so it doesn't have to be. There's zero down options,
mm-hmm,
and it's an investment, so it doesn't have to be expensive, and the savings are seen right away.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. What things are misunderstood by the public as far as solar is concerned?
Well, just like you mentioned, I think a lot of people think that it's really expensive, mm-hmm, and at one point that was true, but since costs have come down so much in the past 5 years, it's affordable. And with the tax credit, that's a huge advantage to save money on your taxes and invest that in your home instead.
So there are tax credits involved. Okay,
mm-hmm,
so that's a plus.
Yeah, it's 30% of the system price.
Excellent. All right. And this would help me on my electric bills? Is that where it's going to really make a difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can completely or almost completely eliminate your electric bill. And instead of spending that money on your utility bill each month, you have that spent on an investment instead.
Okay. What if I were to say to you that I live in a very snowy, cold climate, and,
mm-hmm,
a lot of the year my roof is covered in snow? What would you say to that?
Well, solar panels work in cloudy environments.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a snowy environment, I think you would just have to talk to an expert and determine,
okay,
if it's the right solution for you.
All right. Yeah, I was told that the snow tends to melt off of the solar,
mm-hmm,
certainly more than it would just a shingle roof. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's true. And then also solar panels are installed on a tilt, typically, because roofs,
yeah,
are slanted. And so you do have that tendency for it not to accumulate as much, and then you can manage that on your own as well. So
okay,
Yeah.
All right. So the message is listen to the experts and see if it's right mm-hmm. for you and give it a shot.
Yeah. It's definitely worth a look for sure.
Yeah. I would like to see somebody's home that does have solar and go in there and see what the setup is. They should do that. Maybe they do.
Well, when you go into somebody's home that has solar, it's typically not detectable. I mean, everything runs just exactly the same.
Oh, okay, fine. And you're in a solar home right now.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool, very cool. Is there anything you can do in a solar home that you couldn't do in a different home?
You can charge your electric vehicle right from the sun.
Can you take your shoes off? Can you not wear shoes in the house?
You could do that.
Oh, cool. Okay, I'm doing this then. I'm doing it. Okay. Hey, thank you for the information today, Whitney. It's a pleasure speaking to you.
It's my pleasure. All right, thanks for having
once
me.
Once again, where we go for more information?
Sunpower.com.
That's it. Easy. That sounds easy. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
That's fascinating stuff, huh? I thought so. Get down. I thought so. Get down with it. I love it when I get like street, you know, because I can't talk like street. Is that what you call it? Street talk? I'm getting down with it. I'm cool. I'm on my back with it. I'm flicking my ashes on it. Is that right? Do I sound good? Do I sound cool? Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. Another interesting concept is mammography. I personally, I got tits. Yeah, I got them. Mm-hmm. They're different than a woman's, but I got them. And of course, I mean, in a not kidding around situation, you know, breast cancer is, you know, seriously. And women should constantly be aware of that. And So I recently did an interview with a doctor, Dr. Sally Friedwald, and you know, technologically there should be advances in everything now. There really should. They've come up with a mammography that is far more detailed, and which is fantastic, man. Until you can cure diseases, the best thing you can do is catch them early so that you can take care of them. You don't want to get to a point where they say you got some kind of disease and they say, but you've had it for a long time and now it's spreading. You don't want that. That's not good. You want to catch it early. So mammography is very important for women, as there are many things that are very important for men. But I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about women. So they have 3D mammography, which is cool. So I thought we'd find out about that and talk about that right now. So let's talk to the doctor because, you know, not only do I do this show in order to entertain you like a little puppet on a string, but I try so hard to give you medical information and lifestyle information I didn't even know about. I'm so lucky to have this gigantic pool of experts that we talk to on this program. And as much as we may laugh and have a good time, well, I do. I don't know about you. You don't even bring dip to a party. At the same time, there's a lot of information on this darn show, man. A lot of stuff going on every single day. Someday they'll appreciate me. I think I have to pass away before people appreciate me. Is that Ron? He was, you know, he was delightful, but I learned so much from listening to his program every day. He really cared about. He didn't say that he cared about me, but I think he really did. 'Cause he tried to impart information upon me that I didn't even want. But he did it in a manner that made me want to listen and learn. I went to school for I'm doing your voice now. I went to school for 12 years in the public school system and then 4 years of college, which I'm still paying for. And in all those years, I haven't learned half as much as what I learned on Ron's show. So I guess I have to take my hat off to a man like that. I take my hat off to him, or at least my pants.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Hi, Dr. Friedwald. How are you? How are you today?
Great.
Great.
Thanks. How are you?
Great. Dr. Sally Friedwald is the Division Chief of Breast and Women's Imaging and Medical Director of the Lynn Sage Comprehensive Breast Center at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. And I assume that we're talking about mammograms today.
You got it.
Okay. We on this show, we talk about the importance thereof without question constantly, but I guess there have been some advances in how we do mammograms.
Yes, so mammography is really the only test that has shown to save lives, and so it's an important test, and women should be getting screened every year beginning at age 40. However, we do have limitations in the traditional mammography. So there is a new technology, 3D mammography, that has allowed us to find cancers earlier when they're smaller and call fewer people back for unnecessary additional testing.
So the 3D gives more of a depth image, and therefore things can be discovered that weren't seen before. Is that what it is?
Exactly. So particularly in women who have dense breasts, where some of the breast tissue already in the breast can hide a breast cancer, the 3D mammogram allows us to see really inside the breast. So if you use the analogy of a book with the 2D mammogram, just being able to see the cover of the book, with 3D mammography, we're able to open up that book and page through the breast and potentially find a cancer that's hiding.
Wow. How new is this technology? Is it being utilized yet?
Absolutely. It actually was FDA approved in 2011, but we have been doing a lot of research and with the technology in clinical practice, and we're finding that particularly in women with dense breasts, the 3D mammography is really superior to traditional 2D mammography.
Okay. All right. Now, here's the rub. When a patient sees their physician and says, I want to do this 3D mammography, can you set me up for that as opposed to the usual? What if the physician says, well, that's not within our medical group here, we don't do that here? Is that still the case? Is it not all over the place now? Is it still in selective locations?
It is available in all 50 states,
Yeah. So
it should be available somewhere,
and
patients can seek it out, and I would recommend that. However, if they don't have access, a 2D mammogram is better than no mammogram,
yes,
so I want to emphasize the importance of getting a mammogram, but if you have the opportunity to get a 3D mammogram, that would be my recommendation.
And in most cases, medical insurance would consider that to be the same coverage as a 2D?
So insurance companies, most of them are covering Medicare covers, as well as many Medicaid, and some of the private insurers are covering as well. So it's important, though, to check with your insurance company prior.
It is important because this is something that you should be doing on a regular basis, a scheduled basis for a long time. So it's significant to press the physician or the health insurance provider that, you know, I need to find a path to do this.
Yes. Patients don't need a specific order for the 3D mammogram, so any mammogram order will suffice. But it's really the insurance companies that patients need to have conversations with if they're not covering.
Okay. All right. So what does FDA approval really mean? That it's safe? Is that what that means?
It means that it's safe, but the recent labeling has shown that the Genius 3D mammography is superior to a 2D mammogram in women with dense breasts. So it's important to recognize that it's not just a fancier machine. We actually get a lot more information out of it.
All right. And this is specifically for women with dense breasts. It's hard for me to say that because it's two words are similar. But
I know. Believe me, I know.
But yeah.
It is. It actually, we've shown benefits in all women. So it's not just women with dense breasts, but it's particularly good in women with dense breasts.
It's, you can say that so easily. How come? You must be saying that a lot. I don't get to say that very often.
I do say a lot.
I can't remember the last time I had to say that. Okay, I understand that. But this can be, there used to be a thought that if you didn't have dense breasts, that you didn't have to be as concerned about breast cancer as those that do have the larger variety. Is that a wives' tale kind of thing?
It is. Any woman can get breast cancer, so it is important, certainly, to get screened. It just makes it harder for us as a radiologist to detect the cancer when you have dense breasts.
Okay.
There is a slight increased risk if you have dense breasts relative to the women who have fattier breasts.
Yeah.
There is an inherent risk associated with it, but the greatest issue is the masking effect. We just have a hard time seeing the cancers.
What about people who have had enhancements and such? Are they more prone, less prone? Does it make any difference?
Doesn't make any difference. It does make it a little bit harder for us to detect breast cancer, but we have techniques where we can actually push back some of the implants so that we can see the breast tissue more clearly.
And at what age should you start having these?
Absolutely. Every woman beginning at age 40, every year.
Okay. Every year. All right. And if there's questionable situations, then it's more frequent than that, even, I would assume.
Probably not more frequent, but there are other tests. If you have a high risk of developing breast cancer, for example, if you have a strong family history or have one of the gene mutations that predispose you, there are other categories of patients who had radiation to the chest, et cetera. Yeah. Those patients should also get screened with MRI.
Okay. Is breast cancer a faster growing cancer than others?
It's certainly, the incidence of breast cancer is increasing at about 1% per year. Breast cancer is definitely increasing. And so therefore we're going to have to be more and more vigilant.
All right. So, speak to your, health insurance company and your physician and find out locations in the area that have the 3D mammography. Is there a particular name for this?
Patients can go to genius3dnearme.com to find out exactly where they're located.
genius3dnearme.com.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yep.
Dr. Friedwald, thank you so much for the information today.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. There you have it. See? There you go. I'm just about done for the day, believe me. I am so done. But I'll be back tomorrow. If it's a weekday, you can be sure that... excuse me, I got to stretch. I'm so... Oh, man, that felt good. Do you realize how invigorating and freeing it is to stretch and yawn? Oh, it's wonderful. Yawning to me means that my body is saying, I want to rest now. I've had enough for right now. Yawning is great. You can feel your body opening up. You actually breathe in deep when you yawn. Sometimes it even hurts. And stretching, like you just like, you just put your shoulders back and you move your arms back like you're on some type of a strange exercise contraption. And you can just feel your body just releasing endorphins. I don't even know what that meant. Releasing sphincters and releasing your deviated septum. Your septum will be deviated no more. No more. No more. So I'm going to go stretch now, and because this is I'm done for today. But I'll be back again tomorrow. Now, next time, Where's something appropriate for this show? Kind of sick of you showing up like that and not bringing any dip. Prepare a dip tonight, will you? A little sour cream, a little onion soup mix, you know, like with 1,500 grams of sodium. Enough to harden your arteries with one salty potato chip, a dip into the dip. And you know, your arteries are saying, excuse me, this is like way too much salt for any living thing. Stop it. Stop doing this to yourself. Start reading the ingredients. Instead of saying like 1,500 grams of salt, it should say poison. It should have the skull and crossbones on the back next to the sodium thing. Just the sign of certain death. I think that would be sufficient in order to get the point across. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.